listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media that's dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your show creator and host. When I began Full Power Living in 2004, my goal was to help my listeners understand and work with their own emotions. This meant that we could talk about anything, because emotions are involved with every aspect of human life. So I ask you, how much more emotional can you get than we get about the course of our own lives? Most of us get very emotional about the things that happen or don't happen, or the experiences we have, and especially the people in our lives. Because all of this is dynamic and changing, we're usually faced with puzzles that we need to solve, questions we don't have the answers to. It turns out that we may have more answers than we believe we have. We just haven't known where to go for the answers or how to get there. That's what today's show is about. As Accessing Universal Intelligence mentor Jonathan Lambert gives you answers to your questions from the highest and best part of your own self. And as an added treat, we also have available to us Accessing Universal Intelligence mentor Dakey Fox also. So get your question ready and call in 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570, because today we are making this show together. Accessing Universal Intelligence co-founders Daniel and Sonia Rechnitzer have appeared on this Q&A program a lot in the last year and a half. But when they returned for a time to their home country of Australia, I started inviting others to demonstrate what we affectionately call UI mentoring. So each month we have a different mentor demonstrating the mentoring, and part of the reason that I wanted to do this is to show you that anyone, everyone, can do this. So the basic approach is the same, but every one of us, because we have different personalities and different understandings, do it slightly differently. So today I've invited Jonathan Lambert to demonstrate his mentoring abilities, and we'll start out right off by telling you that Jonathan Lambert is my son. And I'm going to, he works in an internet business. We'll find out more about perhaps how he uses mentoring, the universal intelligence approach in his business, if he does. And he and I will be interacting. I hope we don't have too many inside jokes for you. So a couple of things I want to tell you about is that Jonathan, when he gives any answer, is giving you an answer from your own higher self, the highest and best part of yourself. And you're free to ask questions about it, but this is not coming from Jonathan. It's coming from your own higher self. And so when it's your turn to ask a question, don't give us a lot of information about yourself, so that when you get the answer, it's more believable to you and you get more of what you're looking for. But you can ask questions for clarification. So 888-498-0570. Jonathan Lambert to Full Power Living.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. This is your first time on the show. And so, Jonathan, let's start by talking some. What exactly urged you to investigate and learn about the UI mentoring? What happened for you?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I started out, you know, working my way up from sort of being a junior level engineer. I was very wandering student, and I'm sure I drove you crazy, but I was a wandering student that really, you know, I wasn't the type that was sitting there thinking I'm going to get my PhD and spend the rest of my life in academia. And so I ended up working in Silicon Valley because I grew up in California, and you know, you can build quite a successful career in Silicon Valley. And I ended up going from a junior level engineering job, and after spending, you know, better part of a decade, or actually longer, started running my own companies. And, you know, after a decade of running, building and running four different businesses, I reached a point where I was really looking for a little bit, just answers, things that were a little bit frustrating for me. Sometimes it really felt like I was having to compromise myself in order to be successful in business. And that wasn't sitting very well with me. I was really having a hard time trying to figure out how to sort of fulfill my purpose, you know, feel good about day to day and living by principle, and also, you know, build a company with millions of dollars worth of revenues and payrolls and responsibilities. And that really is a big challenge I found out for a lot of people. I ended up stumbling, you know, on the UI stuff actually through you, as I watched you go through a remarkable transformation, after sort of working with the material and opening yourself up in ways that I had never seen, in all the years that I'd known you, which is my whole life. And, so, you know, that got my attention. You know, my first reaction, of course, was this is crap. I don't need another new age thing. I don't need anybody telling me the answers. I don't need to pay somebody else to, you know, to find out about myself. I mean, I'm very cognizant of the fact that, you know, we come with built-in resources, and in our own hearts and minds, we have the capacity to be connected. We don't need other people to tell us. You know, there's nobody that stands between you and the deeper part of yourself. But I did find, you know, after sort of getting past that part of myself, that it opened me up in a way that I hadn't really had a chance to have. It helped me to be more conscious of the choices I was making. And it led me to a lot of really difficult, but sort of almost like gilding decisions, like that, you know, I mean, I probably never would have decided to shift gears and move towards building yet another company, because we were being quite successful, had it not been for the fact that, you know, I'd come across UI. Is that, you know, that's really where it all kind of started, and the story of how we came to this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another question. So have you been using UI in your business?
You know, I have. It's interesting because, you know, you think I'm going to learn this technique and this technique's going to change everything, but it doesn't. You can't, you're still going to be, it's going to change everything in some senses, because you have a toolkit to deal with things that you may not have had before. You know, you can go connect yourself to deeper answers. But in other ways, you're still dealing with the same, you know, little you that's, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're grumpy, you know. I mean, I still need, you know, I'm sure I could give it up, but I really don't want to. I still need my first cup of coffee in the morning. And, you know, when it comes to using it in business, it's really quite interesting. You start gaining a different perspective, like on some recent negotiations, you know, instead of, you know, going, oh, I wonder what they're going to think, and using some traditional posturing, you know, it's pretty traditional in business when you're doing negotiations to you know, kind of really try to understand the other, your sort of dancing partner's position, to try to really empathize, to create a win-win situation for everyone involved, to do the best you possibly can. It's almost an unfair advantage to be able to ask, you know, what is in the highest and best of this business relationship, because sometimes you'll get answers like, you know, in a recent situation, I was told basically just to cool it, just to hang out, not worry about it, and let the whole thing play out. And so I did, and it actually ended up being a much more favorable position for us. I would not have done that normally. Normally, I would have pushed for an answer. I would have looked for something. So in some ways, it's actually helped me to relax in business, because you can trust the answers. You're not constantly – you can actually come to conclusions as opposed to constantly trying to rely on strategies. That's actually one of the biggest changes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean
– So it makes you more confident then,
it gives
ultimately.
You – Yeah, there's more certainty in the decisions. I mean, some people naturally have that, right? But I think a lot of people struggle with you know, you make a decision, and I certainly am this way. I make a decision. I got to look at it from every single angle. I got to understand the impact to my employees, my partners, my friends, my family. I want to make sure that the decision I'm making is the best decision I can possibly make. There's a lot of effort that goes in. I think people are often unaware of how much effort goes in to looking at decisions before you make them. And then it can be challenging sometimes to put that decision down. Like, okay, I've made the decision. I'm moving on, right? A lot of folks will go, all right, fine, I've made it. I'm going to move on. And they force themselves to do that. With UI, you know, it's like you feel it in your heart. You know that you're in the place that you need to be. And when you make that decision, it's easy to let it go because you know that it's the decision that's in alignment with all the, you know, the things that you're trying to pay attention to. It's a more conscious decision you can trust.
Uh-huh.
That's putting an awful lot into it, but it's true. That's really the difference.
Well, but in my learning of this way of approaching things, the biggest issue is about trust. I had an incident recently where I was given someone's name, and somebody I didn't know. I didn't even know where this person lived. And I was asked to give a demonstration mentoring session. And so I was a little nervous. So I sat down before I made the call and just did a little work inside of myself. And I wrote down three or four things. And one of the things that was most striking was that the first thing I saw was this person walking on trails in sand dunes right on the beach. And the beach. And I had no idea where this person was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I did the demonstration session, I mentioned something about the beach, having gotten that. And the individual said, yes, I used to live right on the beach. And my life went really well then. And now I'm living a few blocks away from the beach. And it's not close enough. I really need to get to the beach. And that's what I had been told. I even had written down the words location, location, location on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to trust what you get is a big part of the work of the process, and that's interesting how you do that with business, because that's not always easy to do.
Well, what's really interesting is one of the things that's, I think, this is a very interesting subject, and there's a lot to talk about here. But one of the biggest challenges in business is that you need to make payroll. make money. You can have all the spiritual principle in the world. If you don't have the money in the bank to pay your payroll taxes, you're in trouble. So it keeps you firmly rooted in the realities of things. So the challenge of, you know, I think a lot of folks that get into spiritual business are very focused about doing good, right? And they're very focused about how to build a deeply effective life and how to really positively impact the world. In fact, you know, that's really the definition of conscious business. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the sort of what they call the triple bottom line model, which is that you have people, planet, and profit. Those are the three criteria. It's not just profit that you focus on, building a healthy workplace culture, building a good place for employees, building a place that has good benefits, that is a healthy workplace, that you focus on your impact on the planet and sustainability as a practice, and that you then balance that with profit.
Wow.
You know, that's actually the new model, I think, for if you look at business as a vehicle to helping corporate social responsibility, what's called values-based economics, that's where UI starts taking on an interesting role, because, how do you know what to pay attention to? You know, what is the right way to do that? I mean, you know, some folks are driven to, you know, build businesses to solve specific problems like human rights or environmental issues. But oftentimes, you know, you're working in a factory and or you're building a technology company. And how do you turn around and create a conscious business? That's mm-hmm. It's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you're under you're under pressure. And that really is about, you know, sort of, I think, making yourself conscious. The thing that I think is most important is that the more elevated the perspective with which you can approach problems, and this is really something kind of the second big pillar, I think, of how you guys help me in business, the more elevated the questions are, meaning you're coming at it from literally maybe a higher perspective. Maybe you're taking a step back and pulling yourself up in your mind's eye and saying, if I look at this, you know, from 1,000 feet up in the air, if I look at this from a different point of view, you know, how can I make this better, lighter, healthier? How can I look at this, you know, from the perspective of the people that work for me and the ecosystem that supports me, the planet and profit? You know, I think, you know, many folks would turn around and say, well, you have that luxury because you're making money. But the truth is that you either make money or don't make money. These are that's a business being healthy or not. And the reason that's the case is because businesses are actually a product of customers. It's the opposite mm-hmm. of the way most people think of it. And customers will businesses to be successful. Businesses make themselves available to be that success. But it's the customer that makes you successful. They buy the brand. They buy the people that are selling them. Oftentimes in sales, they say that you're not buying the product, you're buying the salesperson. And so if you're going to approach business from a truly conscious point of view, then conscious buyers will buy you. And it turns out to be kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wow. That's so I heard you talk about the elevated perspective, and I know that that's one of the things that we're taught to do in UI. And mm-hmm. this morning, before we got started, I had a very strong impression that I should ask you to consult the higher self of Full Power Living. Will you do that on my behalf?
Sure. Let's see what comes up. It's interesting. Forms, right? Like basically what I'm being shown is that there's a developer. There's work to be done in terms of one of the most important pieces that's coming up is creating – that's interesting that I'm telling you about direct revenue, right? Because I think people would like to buy more from you. People would like to support the show. Like right now, I think I could turn around to someone, some listeners and say, hey, you know, if you'd like to buy a t-shirt, if you'd like to, actually buy something from the show, that's something that's a desire of the business is to actually generate more support for you financially. And the reason that's not really particularly working right now is because there's no actual mechanism in place for that to happen.
Right.
And so clearly I'm being shown basically a person working with a computer to essentially create a bunch of forms, interest forms and also some e-commerce to purchase. What am I seeing? That's interesting. It's almost like kitsch. What I'm being shown is basically like, you know, get conscious, you know, it's interesting. T-shirts, those are the types of things that are coming to mind. But I think once you start down that road of asking the question, that's actually what I'm being told. Once you start down that road of asking that question, what you should be selling is going to be a little bit further, a little bit clearer to you. The biggest issue you're running into right now is that the business is nurturing your soul, but not your checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often the case in businesses. And the truth is that, getting clear with money, people oftentimes will come and talk to me about, once I get myself to a certain point, I guess there's a third pillar, which is, in the Bible they say, I can't remember the exact quote, but essentially, God helps those who help themselves. And there's really no more truth to that than this particular circumstance here, which is that bit about, you know, oftentimes people, they get this great spiritual practice on and they really buckle down and try really hard to understand themselves and get connected to their higher self. But they don't pick up the phone and make the sales call. And I know UI has had some focus on that because I've been able to talk to this different folks inside that organization. But that's something I think is a missing step for a lot of folks, which is they don't actually ask for money. And if you look at what higher self wants you to do, higher self is often sitting around saying, all right, tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. And you need to directly ask and focus on the things that you really want. And then the roadblocks get cleared for you. So if you want to make $1 million, make $1 million. Let me tell you the exercise that I've used with great effect on this, right? And I didn't even know I was doing it. But, you know, looking back, I can see sort of the, you know, my first business was a disaster. I lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, spent a year and a half, you know, trying desperately to make it work. And what finally shifted was I just stopped trying to make $1 million and I focused on making the first $100, because until you can make the first $100, you can't make the first 200. Until you make the first 200, you're not going to make the first five. And the first five leads to the thousand to five, the 5,000 to 10,000. Pretty soon you're looking at numbers of, you know, $100,000 a month, but you didn't start out saying I'm going to make $100,000 a month. You know, you started out saying I'm going to make my first dollar. And so that's actually the lesson that's clearly coming through here, which is to focus on small. I'm sorry, you're sick, dear.
Sorry, I was trying to block that off too. Sorry.
That's all right. To focus on the small obtainable goals that are recurring. Because the show has such a natural rhythm, finding ways to monetize it is going to be about finding ways to build specific goals inside of that rhythm. That's clearly what's coming through for me. But that does mean bringing in some other folks to help you to monetize those things, to actually integrate. You know, I just see somebody working furiously for a few days to kind of integrate some commerce. Does that help you understand?
Yeah, it's really wonderful. Thank you.
Sure.
Oh, well, I'm making notes. As you and I, now here's an interesting question. You and I know each other clearly, right?
Yeah.
You've been a part of my body, and now you're your own self.
Gross.
And well, I was thinking about that. It was like, we really have been connected in this lifetime, and we've, you know, I knew that your first business was a struggle and all of that.
Yeah,
but so what's curious here is how much of it is really UI. And so I just want to be clear that though you and I have talked about me monetizing things before, I've never really heard you say what you just said.
Well, isn't it interesting, right? I mean, so one of the things that's really important to remember is that you are a conscious being, dear. There's no point in your life where you are unconscious or disconnected. It's not really possible. People are so terrified that they're going to be, you know, they're going to miss out. Oh, I spent all those years being unconscious. Well, that's not really how it works. You may not have chosen to be in your conscious self, but you are still a conscious being expressing yourself through your body on Earth. You're still a soul in a body. And that doesn't really like stop happening because you're aware of it or not. So when you look at UI, all you're really doing is saying, I'm going to access the parts of myself that I normally would not pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I you know, I find myself occasionally, I find myself occasionally listening to how do I put this? For me, UI was really soft. It wasn't like, you know, I flipped a switch and all of a sudden I have access to, what was the joke? Robin Williams as the genie, unbelievable universal power, teeny weeny little living space, right? Like, you know, there wasn't a certain point universe bending power came into me and I said, oh, you know, I now have all the answers. No, I really found that, you know, what you're really doing is tapping into the deeper part of yourself. And in all truthfulness, what could be more natural than listening to your heart and listening to your soul? And why is that something that requires you to make a shift? In fact, all you're really doing is returning to who you truly are. So when it comes to UI, you know, I tend not to try to force it or to, you know, I don't see it as an external. And so for me, it doesn't usually come out that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I pre-recorded a program this week with Baptiste Dupap, and it'll be on December 11th. And the title of his book is The Power of the Heart. And he went around the world. He trained as an attorney. And just as he was about to sign his contract with a big multinational law firm, he was up late one night and he listened to Eckhart Tolle in a program that was being sponsored by Oprah. And they were talking about finding your life purpose. So he took a couple of days to focus on his life purpose, and he came up with the fact that he was supposed to make a movie and write a book about the power of the heart. Mm-hmm. And he decided to go with it. And he went around the world. He interviewed people like Eckhart Tolle and Maya Angelou and Marcy Shimoff and Deepak Chopra and et cetera, et cetera. He's got a whole lot of people talking about how the heart, actually tuning into the heart, staying with the heart, is the most important thing. It was a wonderful treatment. And it got me to thinking. Now, I know you're the father of two little charming daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you and I have talked about, Sean, is especially for the older one, there seems to be no time in her day for her to focus back in on herself. So the one thing that Baptiste kept talking about is how important it is for you to take time and tune into your heart, and that's what you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
What about that for kids? You've done some thinking about that, haven't you?
I mean, profound amounts of thinking. I think as a parent, that's actually got to be one of the most difficult questions you could possibly ask me. And I think one that, you know, really reveals, you know, my values, my attitudes, and the behavior of the family. You know, because that particular question about being able to protect your children and give them space to be who they really are, really gets to the heart of what being a positive human being, what positive human health and well-being is, right? I mean, there are those four fundamental areas of human existence: the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. You know, you can put a kid in physical activity. You can, you know, have them swim or play soccer or do fencing or whatever it is that you have around you. You know, if you can just unleash them on a field, and if they they're capable of it, they'll run. You know, the mental obviously is incredibly important, and we all know about reading, writing, and arithmetic. And school certainly gets an adequate amount of funding and attention. In this household, emotionally and spiritually, these are the areas where I think you're really asking this question.
Mm-hmm.
And emotional needs of kids are about, they're going to reflect back to you. That's what children do. So you have to really open yourself up, especially as I have two daughters. I really have spent a great deal of time thinking about how, you know, they're so much more gentle than I am. So I really have to make a conscious effort to be emotional and to listen to them and to go out of my way. But spiritually, I think that the modern life, I mean, we struggle with this. My eldest child is an unbelievably self-motivated individual who really is, you know, pretty remarkable in her ability to be self-directed. She will organize things in the neighborhood. She decides that she wants to do things. I mean, since she was little, she would decide that she wants to do something. She'd see something, you know, on the internet or something, you know, over my shoulder. I remember a couple of years ago, I was watching a fishing show, and for 3 years, I have dealt with a child who has just come to love fishing as a result of that episode. She saw it, she fell in love with it, and she has pursued it relentlessly. I mean, this is the kid that this week pulled 8 30-plus inch carp out of the lake behind our house.
Wow.
I would be, and let's talk about that, because here I am, you know, the kids get home at, you know, 5 or 6 in the evening, and I have only a few hours with them in the evening because of the schedule. And I want them to get their homework done because, you know, they're in that intense school where they go and they start early and end late. And by the time they get home, they don't have so much time. And she is such a little, you know, self-directed person that she will sneak out when she's supposed to be doing her homework, like almost like a modern Huckleberry Finn, and do fishing in the backyard. Now, I find myself torn up about this, because to me, that's feeding her emotionally and spiritually in a way that I think helps a human being develop. It's something you absolutely love, and it's something you're deeply passionate about. And these are the things that help a person stay in touch with themselves. But she still has to get her homework done. So, you know, we have really struggled with that question. You know, do we radically change our lifestyle, you know, and run off into the woods and homestead and homeschool or whatever it is we need to do in order to give our kids enough time? Or do we stay and give them, you know, the structure they need in order to succeed academically and put them in more structured activities and stay a little closer to civilization, which is what we've chosen to do? I think that my youngest child is doing a lot better with it than my oldest child. And I don't really have an answer for parents around this one. I think it's I think that modern life is not particularly conducive to just tooling around. There's almost no structured time for kids. No unstructured time.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of frowned upon to give it to them, which I find appalling. And people say, oh, it's good for kids to have time off, but and the summer vacation, all this. But truth be told, I mean, most folks have their kids in 11 hours plus of activities per day.
And let me just point out here, those of you who've been listening to this show for a while will know approximately their ages, but the oldest child turns 9 on Saturday
this week. That's right.
And the younger one is 6. So
since I know the show won't air, she's getting a fly fishing rod for her birthday.
Don't let her listen to this show.
Let her listen to the show today. Yeah, exactly.
And her grandmother's giving her a twirly skirt.
There you go.
I'll put a plug in for twirly girls. Those of you who have children, girls who like twirly skirts, look up twirly girls on the internet. They've got some fantastic twirl skirts that little girls love.
Let's talk about something, though. Let's talk about something that's quite interesting that's related here, which is this crisis of trust in our institutions, right? Because it's intimately related to the individual versus the institution. Here in this society, we've put an incredible amount of effort into supporting and maintaining institutions. And those institutions have been really falling apart in the last decade, thanks in no small part to advances in robotics and the internet, which have basically undermined centralization and made it less important. Now, challenge with kids is, you know, the reason that children need time by themselves is, in my opinion, is to develop them their ethics. Ethics comes from this experiential learning.
Yes.
And, you know, the questions of conscientiousness and self-determination and choice, these inherently Western values that we really put a lot of value in, are determined in no small part by the free time we have in our childhoods. And it's the question of how you behave around other kids. It's the question of how you behave towards animals in nature. It's the question of, you know, how you behave, what you learn and the experience is the feedback you get in those times where you're not being watched that really do help you understand the principles of morally good behavior. And I think that that's something that I think is missing in some ways, that we need to help our children to have enough time with themselves to ensure a foundation for morally good decisions. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. Because I've shared with you that as a therapist, what I've observed over the last several decades in individuals is that when we're in the process of making major change in our individual lives, one of the first things that starts to happen is everything starts to fall apart.
That's right.
And it's very difficult, largely because none of our techniques for making things go right again work, and mm-hmm. it throws us into a crisis that I've learned to call the identity crisis process, and I've been through this myself. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about, Jonathan, a crisis of trust in our institutions, the kind of thinking that came to me as you were saying that is, yeah, we're having a crisis of trust. Yes, our institutions are falling apart no matter how it's being done. And that is because we're in the midst of enormous transformation. And where I went in terms of school, and I'm interested to hear your response, where I went in terms of school was, and up till now, we've been holding schools as institutions on a high pedestal. You've got to get an education, therefore you won't go any further or your life won't be good, et cetera, et cetera. And is it not possible that too is falling apart, that it's not school itself so much as making sure that each person learns in the ways that are right for them, learns how our world works, learns how to get information, but equally importantly, learns how they themselves work and how the universe works?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the current sort of malaise in corporate ethics and social responsibility has its roots in sort of the perversion of the Protestant work ethic and the fact that that is work ethic that is deeply ingrained to the point where people can't even see it, right? And, mm-hmm. and the second thing that's happening is that we're starting to wake up to this idea of this positive human health and well-being, right, through physical, emotional, and spiritual, mental as well, right? Those four areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in our children, we are going to see spiritual leadership. And let me tell you what that is. That is leading yourself with vision, hope, faith, in altruistic love. And it taps a fundamental need in human beings for there to be leaders and followers of doing essentially a spiritual survival, of being connected to yourself, right? And there's both a calling and a membership required in those institutions to be part of being connected to yourself. And if the institution can't reflect altruistic love and faith and hope and vision, it tends to fall apart in the face of these things, because it doesn't lead to positive health and ethics and a spiritual well-being, right? So,
mm-hmm.
so you know, if it provides an ethical, you know, I mean, these organizations provide an ethical foundation that reflects those requirements for legitimacy, for both the influence of the leaders in those organizations and the follower empowerment to keep those values aligned mm-hmm. across the. You know, it sounds really airy-fairy, but it's not. Like, if let's say a company is going to exist that helps both the leaders and the followers to be spiritually awake and to apply their values across both the strategic priorities of the business, an empowered team, the individual, and ultimately apply the principles of good corporate social responsibility, then those businesses will thrive.
Uh-huh.
And the reason the education system is having so many issues is because we're trying to teach people how to fit in and be good employees. That's the whole Protestantism aspect of things. We're not teaching people how to be conscious employees. You know, there's a reason why Google has, you know, a whole company-wide course on mindfulness. And there's also a reason why it's one of the most highly valued companies in the world. And that is that these values matter. And they matter, and they start in childhood, and they go right to business. It's funny, almost everything we've been talking about today is connected. Right? I mean, because the word that I think really helps explain the disaffection that a lot of people have towards this stuff is congruence. You need to have all these pieces connected. You need to feel fulfilled personally. You need to have the strategic priorities for the business, you know, the social responsibility aspects. You need to have an empowered team, and you need to be empowered as an individual. And if we don't raise children that can live in that environment, if we're raising people to be good, obedient children that follow the rules, we're not necessarily going to end up with empowered individuals that enforce that. And in many ways, you'll see a lot of institutions crumbling. But if you look closely, you'll see most of them are crumbling because of the ethics of leadership.
That is so profound. We have a question on the chat from Utter Delight.
Great username.
As we wake up and realize that we want to make changes in life, how might John suggest going about finding a new job? How has he been able to make big shifts?
Well, you know, I'm right in the middle of a big one right now where I'm actually, you know, working with a company that I have had for a really long time that's very successful. But I'm having to ask questions about where I'm going to go. And you have to, you know, the first thing to do is to relax and take a deep breath and realize that no matter what happens, you're covered. It's one of the most important lessons you'll ever learn in your whole life. No matter what, you're going to be fine. And you're not going to end up, you know, I've seen people take great falls in life, but I've never seen somebody who's really working consciously take a really great fall. So the first thing, you know, or if they have, they've taken it, you know, health issues and things like that can come down on you. But those are the big lessons that we learn. And when we get them, we tend to move on from them. So when it comes to this question about, well, specifically for you, let's see. See, you're not in alignment with the job that you have right now. You don't like it. And so the first thing you need to do is find the job that you really like. You know, I think that's something that gets lost. People are like, well, you got to have a job. And the truth is, you don't. You got to make a living. You don't have to have a job. You need to make enough money to cover your bills. And so the first thing that I would always tell almost anyone, and I would tell you specifically, is make sure you know exactly how much money you need to make in a given 30-day period, in a given month. Exactly how much money do you have to pull in to cover your bills? What's your baseline? What's your burn rate? What's your personal burn rate? And that is the floor. That is the floor. I mean, and this is really important, especially when you have other people relying on you, which many of us do. And so the question is, all right, you know, people oftentimes have this sort of fatalist attitude. Well, I'm not going to work, so I'm going to have zero income, and I'm going to you know, go after my dream. So I'm going to need $6,000 a month, or $4,000 a month, or $3,000, whatever it is that $12,000, whatever it is that you need, you know, to maintain your life. The truth is that, you know, almost everybody makes partial income even when they're not working. There's always that thing on the side or something you can do to make a little extra money. So, you know, first is to get comfortable knowing what that number is, right? So you can come to terms with that. Once you know that number, ask yourself, instead of asking yourself, what job should I have? Ask yourself, how do I generate the wealth I need to support what I want to do? And of course, that will inevitably lead you to the most important question, which is the one you're asking me, which is, how do I know what I want to do? And the truth is that you need to ask yourself. You can say literally to yourself, put yourself in a calm space, clear your ego, be conscious about it, and ask the question, what is in my highest and best? What is the area where I would be able to be of service? What is the area that is going to help me learn the most, grow the most? And if you balance these things out, how much money do I actually need to earn objectively? How much would I like to earn? Everybody will always tell you they'd like to make $20,000 a week. you know, I mean, I think that's a fantastic idea and you should go for it. But again, it's about knowing, you know, putting some good concrete forms in place before you pour the, you know, before you pour that, before you commit to what it is, knowing exactly what you have to do. And in your, you know, also making sure that you, you know, opening yourself up to the possibility of doing something completely different requires you to go out into the world and explore a little bit. A lot of times people will get in front of their computers and start looking for work. I've always found this to be a bit strange because I've never found a job that I really loved over the internet that way. Like, I mean, I've read job descriptions and that's led me to go to different conferences and meet with people. But I've almost always been inspired into a career that I've been successful in by meeting someone who is in a related or similar or almost identical field who was able to tell me about their job. And I just went, wow, that's awesome. Like, I totally want to do that for a living. And you can do that? You can do that for a living. That's how I finally learned about entrepreneurship is when I was in Silicon Valley. I started meeting all these people who make a living running companies. I was like, I didn't, you know, really know that you could just up and start a company. And of course, when I did it, I had no idea what I was doing, but I don't think anybody really does. You just dive in and then you figure things out. In your case, higher self would like you to know that everything's going to be okay and that you don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry. Also the question, you have a tendency to try to rush things. And taking your time to explore is what you're being told to do here. So, you know, the areas that you're interested in, these hobbies that you have, they're the things that you need to go spend some time with and see what kinds of careers you could carve out for yourself. And that's pretty much what I'm being told to tell you.
Oh, that's really good.
I hope so. I mean, otherwise I'm totally full of it and good luck.
I need to take a little spot out here before we tie things up to make a couple of announcements. First of all, our show next week, it will be with featuring Dr. Amelia Kemp, who's author of a book called From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy. And what we'll be talking about is the inclusion of spirituality in psychotherapy, in personal growth, which is a very near and dear topic for me, and I'm sure you'll learn and know a lot about it. Secondly, what we've been talking about today is accessing universal intelligence, and the company has recently opened a new website, which you can go to at accessingui.com or discoverui.com. And you'll see that they have many specials in terms of pricing, so that if you have interest in learning how to do this yourself, you can get started and try it out for yourself for as little as $25. So be sure to check out the workshop packages. And there are also special, there's a one-year membership that's available to you so that you can take some live training and also get specialty courses in things like how to age mindfully and how to do business mindfully and various things, which you'll see on the site. They're free articles every week. They're free articles and some of the past radio shows that Daniel and Sonia have done here with us on Full Power Living are also posted on that same site. So you can go get to it by going to discoverui.com or to accessingui.com. And to get your discounts and your newsletter and all of that, put my name when it says, how did you hear about UI? You can put my name, I-L-E-N-E. And also one of the things that you get with that one-year membership is you get a full hour of a mentor's time to be asking your own questions. Now, the third thing is that about 3 months ago, we featured Daniel Rechnitzer on the show, and he was working with Lynette, who had been diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma cancer. She had been working as a caretaker for my husband, who has some medical issues. in our home and then was diagnosed with cancer herself. So I spoke to her yesterday. Now, Daniel suggested that she not continue with her chemotherapy treatments. She opted not to listen to that advice, but she wanted you to know that she has completed all six of her chemotherapies, and she's getting a scan today to find out what has happened with her tumors. Initially, they were receding. So the chemotherapy took some strength out of her, but her attitude is really positive. And the other interesting thing, considering that we're working with or focusing on emotions through this show, is that she said, I've always known Lynette to be very upbeat, and she said that she was very surprised at how many emotions she went through, how many dark places she visited that she didn't even know were inside of her. But of course, with her very positive attitude, she's come through those a lot, and she's looking forward now to regaining her strength and beginning to do the play and the fulfillment of her bucket list that Daniel recommended for her. So I've been promising you an update on Lynette as we continue these programs, and so that's the update for this month. And by the way, the next time we have our UI Q&A will be November 13th. We'll be having a half-hour session from 10 to 10:30. And if you go to emotionalpro.com and sign up for our newsletter, you'll be advised of all the upcoming shows, including that one. Twice a week, you'll get a notification from us. So, those are my announcements. I'm really looking forward to next week's show. Jonathan, you're just amazing. You've amazed me since I first knew you. But I'm so impressed with all that you have been offering today. You know, one of the things, I think I've told you this before, John, one of the things that used to stand me on my ear when you were 10, 11, 12 years old, I'd hear you talking about something or explaining how to do something that I had no idea you even knew about, much less would have any information on how to do. And there you would be. And I've always been astounded at how much you have in you and how much goes through you that you so openly and lovingly share with your employees, your family, your mom, and with our listeners here on Full Power Living. It's wonderful.
It's part of being terrified every day.
Tell me about that. Wait a minute, I thought I kept you from being terrified.
Absolutely. No, but I oftentimes I think many of us, and I think it's important, if somebody wants to hear this, so I'm going to say it. No, there's no there's no guruism going on here. I mean, I find myself nervous to have conversations with people all the time. I find it difficult to get up in front of audiences. I've spoken probably hundreds of times. I don't know. I've lost track. I've been spoken at conferences. I've spoken at trade shows. I've done dinners. You know, let's talk about the values that matter, right? Like, let's talk about that for a second. Let's go back to that. Because there's vision, which I mentioned. There's honesty, right? The forgiveness, hope, gratitude, and humility, and compassion, and integrity that requires you to be honest, right? That's what that is. Yeah. Trustworthiness, right? Which is a very, which is the integrity question ties right into the honesty question. Reliability ties into the honesty question. Loyalty sometimes, promise keeping ties in, right? Respect, responsibility, and fairness. These are all words that, my favorite, I think is the one that I think actually is important for listeners to hear, which is, you know, one of the most important values people forget about is optimism. Optimism can take you really far. And gratitude. So all these words, right? But, and yet, and I've gone through UI mentorship. And yet I still find myself anxious, nervous before I do something as simple as stand up in front of a group. I have to psych myself up to do sales calls. And I think it's important for people to hear that. You know, I'm not being alleviated of the things that that are difficult for me. I still have to go through that. The difference is that I can recognize that it's my ego saying, you can't do this. And I'm going, yeah, I can. I can totally handle this. And that's really what I think more than anything else UI can help you do. I mean, you know, imagine getting in front of somebody and saying, I'm going to connect to your higher self and give you answers to all your life's questions. I learned this from, yeah, so, and now I got it covered. So, yeah, it can be
you're
a little...
so irreverent. You haven't mentioned the word irreverence.
I don't know if it's a value. It's a characteristic. I'll give you that. You know, staying in your heart, staying in your values, and finding meaningfulness in service to others is the purpose of this kind of training. And when you after doing UI training, one of the things that often happens for me is I find my mind flipping to what I can get, to how what I can give. And how I can be of service to the person who's in front of me. And it's actually helped me that when people talk about alleviating fear, that's what alleviating fear means for me.
Is serving the person in front of you?
Yeah. How can I be of service here? How do I bring these values to bear? Right? I mean, you know, and toughness is a value. Grit is a value. Sticking to it, right? Grit's an actual value. You can look it up. It's not strange because it's also a breakfast food. But, you know, it is a value of sticking to it and, you know, enduring that long period. It's important to remember, I think, a lot of times that when you're doing this kind of work, and you offer help to someone, that, you know, by giving, you're actually helping yourself to become greater. And to give is to receive, truly. And so you fill yourself up, you fill up others by trying to live this way, or trying to live a more conscious and more conscious way of being. And it just happens to also be incredibly good, an incredibly good way to run a family and a business. So, you know, but that's something I really felt strongly needed to be said is, you know, nobody's perfect, right? Like, you just do the best you can here.
So just very briefly, given that you were nervous about coming on to this show and now you've appeared and you did serve, what's your feeling now? How do you feel about having been on Full Power Living?
Oh, well, the coffee kicked in, so I'm feeling fantastic.
I won't accept that answer.
I think it's good. I think it's interesting. You know, and modern life doesn't give us many times to contemplate our own agency. You know, that's something that I think opportunities like coming and being public on a radio show or podcast gives us the capacity to think and feel things that I wouldn't normally feel in the day-to-day operation of companies, right? It's a step away from what sometimes feels like the excessive individualism that's required by day-to-day life. Let's put it that way. So I do enjoy these kinds of conversations because it's cooperative. And it's filled with mutual respect. And that's one of I've always loved that about your show and the way that you've chosen to bring your gifts to the world. You've built a bit of a classroom, and it's nice to be part of it.
Well, thank you. Wow, that's beautiful. Well, thank you very much, Jonathan, for helping me to helping us to demonstrate how UI works, for giving so much of your own information and learning. I don't think we've ever concentrated on business as much as we have today, and I, for one, have learned a lot. I want to invite you who are listening to go to discoverui.com. Daniel Rechnitzer has a book there called The All-Knowing Diary, which is uniquely energized to help you open up to your own abilities. So consider, if you do nothing else, get a copy of Daniel's book. Jonathan, Lambert, thank you very, very, very much for being with me today. I have thoroughly enjoyed having you as my guest.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. I love you.
You too, dear.
Next week on Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time is our next show, and we'll be talking with Dr. Amelia Kemp on From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer for today and for many years into the past. Thank you, Paul. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.